Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Okay, let's jump right into it. There are so many things I would love to communicate to you today, but I want to attempt to be disciplined and not try to tell you everything that God's been speaking to me over the last several months about 2015. In fact, I'm going to have to probably get it out over several series of what God is doing. But he is doing something. He does care about where we're at, and he is trying to take us someplace. Now, what you see behind me, these big outlets are speaking toward our subject of plugged in. You can actually have an outlet, but it must be hooked up to a transformer in order to produce power. To give you power, you must plug into it. Now, a lot of us are aware of the power. A lot of us are around the power. A lot of us may have plugged into the power. But until the switch is thrown, this power still is not at its maximum potential in your life. And I hope to get you plugged in so that the power of God could be at maximum in your life. The Bible says in John, let's look at John 15. Let's go to the fifth verse. And fifth and sixth verse says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. If you stay plugged into me, hooked into me, the proof of being you is the fruit of your life. What is following your life? When we look at the things you produce, is it frustration? Is it sin? Or is it salvation? Is it joy? Are people happy to be around you? Or do they go down when they're around you? What are you plugged into? Because when you're plugged into God, you and everybody around you is having access to the maximum amount of help that they can get. Amen. Praise the Lord for you, sister. I don't know your name. God bless you on the first Sunday of the year. I thought you came ready to praise the Lord. Say, if you do not remain in me, he said, no, apart from me, you can do nothing. So don't plug in. What the scripture is saying is everything you produce won't have value or worth in the kingdom if you're not connected and plugged into the king. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burn. I mean, it doesn't leave any room for not being plugged in. Doesn't seem to leave any value. Now, here's the problem. We're plugged into something. In fact, we're plugged into everything, but we don't have time for nothing. Statistics say that everyone during this time is making New Year's resolutions. And for those who make them, they are 10 times more likely to achieve their goal than those who don't. Now, most of us, according to statistics, our number one thing we want to do this year is what? Lose weight. Don't let this suit fool you. I'm packing it in strong. You just got to pick the right size. It'll slim you up. Lose weight. Lord, help us. Everybody's list, lose weight, get out of debt. But when I looked at every list I could find, getting a deeper relationship with God, clarity, does not seem to get on the radar or the list. Seems to be a problem. See, we're plugged into everything. Plugged into emails, text message, phone ringing. I mean, I'm so plugged into my phone, I'm not going to lose my phone. Where's my phone? Who got a charger? And then if I don't have it, I get the phantom vibration. You ever got phantom vibration? Oh, Lord, who calling me? Nothing's there. I could be in bed in nighttime and just grab my leg. Oh, it's just my leg. It's just wrong. I'm plugged in deep. Everybody has access to me. And I carry devices to make sure they do. But God, who's everywhere at all times, he can't barely get a message in. Jane, hold on, Jesus. I'm watching the game. Hold on, Jesus, I'm eating. Hold on, Jesus, I'm dealing with my kids. Hold on, Jesus, I gotta work. Hold on, Jesus, I'm tired. Hold on, Jesus. Jesus, come on. Come on, Jesus, you know how it is. Jesus can be put on pause, but he has the power. And without the power, the scripture said we don't have nothing. So it seemed to me that priority number one should be plugging into the power to have something versus nothing. Here's another reason why is we don't plug into the power. It's because we have funny feelings about the statement we're going to make. You complete the sentence, okay? He may not come where you want him, but... Ain't that so churchy? You like that little churchy statement? I like to say it like this. He never comes when you want him. See, if you just get out, you stop being religious and you just act like you do when you at home and you just say, God, you don't never show up when I ask you to. I wanted you yesterday. You ask God a question about one thing and he start talking about another. That's why we don't want to wait on him. Even though the scripture says his ways are not like our ways, neither his thoughts like our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high his thoughts are from our thoughts. So we got to plug into someone to get the power to operate, the power to live, the power to function. But we have to wait on his timetable. And that's where it goes wrong, because we don't like that part. Hurry up and wait. It is just too much. So I first realized that I could have the promise of God, and this attitude in me became evident when I was in 10th grade. Now, I want to tell you something about myself that I was delivered from, so you don't need to. Sometimes I tell stories and people still act like I'm not that person no more. And, I cheated my way through most of school. To the 10th grade because, I had learning deficiency. And I had given myself an excuse to sin. Because after all, I was disadvantaged by God. I'm just taking an advantage back. Even out the playing field. You guys know, you've cheated before. Now, Bruce said last service he ain't never cheated. I said, goody goodies, they can sit out in the lobby. Okay? We got some sinner folks in here that's trying to work on ourselves. Okay? Okay, buddy? Okay? Okay, so maybe the rest of us got some sin in our life that we're trying to purge out. I'm just talking to us, not him. Jesus' nephew.
I'm sorry. I just went too far. I'm sorry.
Back to the spirit. So I'm here's when I recognize I am off. I was the king of the crib note. I had got all these cheat sheets and I was letting people copy them at lunchtime, and when lunchtime was over, I asked where my cheat sheet was and no one knew. So I'm walking down to my class, and I'm asking people, and I'm getting a little bit frustrated, a little bit violent. No punches, but I'm throwing people against lockers. And I realize as I'm trying to force the, people on the side of me to let me see their, paper, and they won't do it. This is going wrong. I struggle through my test. I turn in my test, and I come back to my seat, and everybody had thrown their cheat sheets in my seat. Now I got to hide the evidence, and I didn't even get to cheat. And I said, God, that was the day. I'm going to plug into your promises and trust in you in my deficiencies, because I'm not doing too good trusting myself. And from that day forth, I did not cheat, and I started becoming a D-plus student. Hallelujah! Then a C-minus. Then it'd be all the way to the honor roll. But you know what? It did not happen on day one. It did not happen 30 days in. It did not happen 6 months in. But over the time of pressing your way to do what he said do and seeking him and putting him first and staying plugged in, you've got the power to live right, to be right, to think right, to function right. As I get into this group of characters today, these disciples, we're going to be looking, I'm going to contextualize Luke 24, the final verses, and I'm going to preach off of Acts 1. But I want to show you a group of people who are where we are right now today. They were at the close of one era in their life, and they were at the beginning of a new one. Almost like we're at the close of a year and the beginning of a new year. And these people had the same problem we have, these disciples. And the proof of our graduation will be the same proof that they had to demonstrate. These are people who have already experienced the birth, the calling, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he'd walked around, he'd been seen above 500 people. He'd shown up to Mary at the tomb. She came back and told the disciples, and what did they say? We don't believe it. I just take this moment to thank God for women. Thank God for women who will stay with Jesus even when men acting crazy. I want to thank you. Thank you, women. Jesus respects women. Jesus loves women. The first person that had the gospel incarnate revealed to them was a woman. Just want to bring that out because sometimes, that's not celebrated. But you need to be celebrated. You need to celebrate the fact that God's got a calling on you. I'm not calling it the year of the woman, but I'm just trying to tell you that I feel a grace and an anointing for you guys to do work in this coming year like never before. And you don't need to feel less than, even if men or someone else or society keeps you just a step below. You know how it is. You're almost on the same level playing field, but it's not a level playing field. And we talk about racism, we don't talk about sexism, but it's still real. But I'm telling you, Jesus loves women. I just want to say that. Reveals himself, they don't believe it. On the road to Emmaus, after he's resurrected from the dead, two disciples walking together, talking about all the events that happened. A stranger who is Jesus disguises himself, walks up, sees what they're talking about. They say, don't you know what's going on? Jesus, who was a prophet, they didn't downgrade him. Peter then downgraded Jesus from the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Savior, to a prophet that could have been the one. This is where they are at. This is the context leading into Acts 1. He showed up to all 11 disciples. These are the people he ate with, slept with, did miracles with. These are the people who left their jobs, who seemingly had the clearest revelation of who Jesus is, and now that he did everything he said he would do, they acting lost. It's where we're at the transition. Jesus shows up on the Mount Olivet, Luke 24, and he gives them the great commission to go into all the world, and he says, but before you go, go wait in Jerusalem. You're going to hear me say it in the text in a second. Until you get some power to do it. So funny that plugging into God starts with a clear revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Don't think you have one. You've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt you have one. What is coming in 2015? People trying to discredit who Jesus is. You want to know what this 2015 is about? It's you and I having to stand up and be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you. Do you know Jesus to the degree that you can defend your faith? Because if you cannot, enough in the world is going to happen that aliens can be credited for. So E.T. is real. Yeah. Oh. You mess around, and every time you don't think the enemy will make a play that's ridiculous, that ridiculous play becomes the standard and then the law. And the people of God swept away by the very ignorance that they allowed because they would not do their assignment. So here we go. Acts 1, we're going to start at the fourth verse because the first three verses was only Luke, who was the writer of Luke, the physician, and Acts, who says he tried to write an orderly account of events he heard about for Theophilus and for all of us. He was only contextualizing the mindset of the disciples and how they were reacting to the gospel versus how they should react to the gospel. And now he's going to give us our three points of this message, which are real simple. When you're plugged into God and you are willing to wait, it's because he's been faithful to promises. He's got a good track record. Number two, the primary activity of someone who is waiting and plugged in is understanding that they could derive their power from prayer. Jesus always came out of prayer, and you see great miracles happening. We always want power, but it's not necessarily attached to prayer. By the way, if you were not intending to be at the 6 a.m., noon, or 7 fasting and prayer meeting in the upcoming week, I encourage you to be here at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, or noon Monday through Friday, or 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, so that you can pray by being plugged in and wait on the Lord until you get power. How do you know if you should come to the prayer meeting or not? Here's your test. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. If you can look at your life right now and you're being mightily fruitful, then take some days off. Take a break. But if you're like me, that looked at my life and the potential of my life and you came up lacking in 2014, if you're like me, then you're going to try to make every meeting that you can make. The reason you're not saying amen is because your flesh hates it. And so does mine. But to get plugged in, you're going to have to get up. Yeah, that, ain't no amens on that kind of stuff. That's all right, though. I can still preach. You got to get up. Yes. Yeah, I can give you all that. Y'all don't give me all. That was just a plug for the prayer meeting. That's it. Watch this, and this is his promise. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom to Israel? So watch this. God is saying, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to go and do it. I've got the people group. I've got the assignment. But before you go, you're going to have to go and wait until you get the promise. The promise is to be overwhelmed and to be clothed, to be baptized with my spirit. So many times people have told me, well, I'm saved, Pastor James. I don't need the Holy Spirit kind of part. You know, I got the Jesus part. And I'm, you know, the Holy Spirit part is good, but it's a little, you know, it's got some other stuff that, you know, I'm not comfortable with. And so I just don't do that part. But Jesus, when he ascended, Jesus, when he gave his final instruction to the people, didn't make it about them. He didn't say, you know I'm leaving, but I'm gonna bless you with a job. You know I'm leaving, but I'm gonna bless you with a new car. I'm gonna bless you in a bit. No. He said, go wait till you get power to be a witness, which is to lay down your life for a cause of Christ versus your own. How is it, Upper Vineyard, that God could ignore all of their needs and say, here's what I need from you. You to get the power to do it. So if God tells them and us we need the power, we need it. You need the promise. I lived the majority of my teenage life without this experience of the Holy Spirit. But there came a day when I heard about the promise. And I said, I wanted the promise. Because all we knew to do when I was growing up was tarry. And so I went to every tarrying service that is. Now, for those of you who didn't grow up in church, don't know nothing about a tarry, nothing. Tarry service. That's just where you, Greg Chapman, you just stand up on the altar, you close your eyes, and you just call on Jesus till he comes. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Then you switch it up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You say that for hours or so until you get tired and your mouth get dry, and then you say, Jesus, there it is. He's speaking in tongues right there. No, I need some water because my mouth is dry. Don't be putting the experience on me. No, my mouth is dry. Yeah, dry mouth. The promise is there. But you know what? The promise caused me to have to pursue and wait. When I got the revelation that there was a promise, was not when the promise showed up in my life. It was church after church and tarry service after tarry service and scripture after scripture and seeking God over and over and over again. And maybe it doesn't really take all of that, but for me, it took all of that. Because I had to break through years of my Catholic training and Lutheran training and Baptist training that told me that ain't even real. And I had to break through all of that stuff to get to a point where I was at a church with a little church mother with me and her in the room. And she said, do you believe, baby? I said, I believe, mother. She said, then lift your hands up. And she locked me in my chest. And I said, oh, da ba sata no no. Oh, God, yeah, yeah. It came on out. Ah! She, yeah, you see? It had come on out now. Why did I have to wait? Because in the waiting for the promise, it produced the pursuit. In the waiting for the promise, it produced the pursuit. Why does God delay in giving you something he promised? He's developing character in you, perseverance in you, consistency in you. You have to show up and do the right thing even when you're not getting the result that you want. Here's what they did. Verse 7 said, immediately God gives them a promise. And they say, at that time, are you going to restore the kingdom? You going to fix Israel? That what you're going to do when we close with this power? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Don't even seek for the times and the seasons. I told you to go wait till you get power. And then you can be my witness in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the othermost parts of the earth. I told you to wait. And that's what we do. When God gives us a promise and there's seemingly a delay, we become uncomfortable. But when you gonna handle my problem? When you gonna handle my situation? When are you gonna get rid of this Romans? Don't you know how tough society is right now? Don't you know that the Romans are making it tough for the Jews? Don't you know we still hiding out? Don't you know they just killed you about 40 days ago? And you telling us to represent your same message, man? I like what you, when you gonna show up with the power to defeat them, because they look like they defeated you. And you want God to be more concerned about what's going on in society. Why isn't God showing up? He could put an end to this, or he could put an end to that. Look, God's got a plan for the earth, and it's the gospel. And he don't really change from it, from nobody. Not the disciples, not me, not you. He's not caught off guard by sin. Sinners sin. This world is going to have increasing levels of wickedness, but the only solution to this world is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that promise, and an empowered believer that will go out with the message of reconciliation and see fruit brought into the kingdom because they stayed plugged in. You are the answer for the world, beloved. There is no greater Calvary that's coming. You're the Calvary. And that's probably sometimes why we get depressed, because we look at ourselves and say, oh, God, ain't nobody else coming but me? Woo! We hit. Jesus needs some new soldiers, because I'm tired. I don't want more people at my house. I don't talk about all the people at my job, because I talk to them every day. They're asking me questions I don't know the answer to, because I don't want to seek my Bible long enough to get the answers to their questions. God is forcing you in 2015 to grow up and mature and start focusing on what he's focusing on. He didn't say, you know, Peter, you guys, I know it's going to be tough for you, you know, with me gone and everything, because I was supplying some ministry income. Now you can't minister at that same level. I know you tried to go back fishing already, but that wasn't working for you. So I gave you a little bonus catch to sustain you for a minute so you can wait on me till my promise comes. And I don't know how long in here you will have to wait, but when he makes a promise, he's faithful. In the Garden of Eden, he made a promise that he would come and redeem man, and he's proven to these disciples, I kept that promise. Now you can trust me to wait. He's not going to leave you on an altar hanging. He's going to not leave you without words to say. He's not going to leave you not being a bold witness. He's in the self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what to say. Yes. Now watch. This is a trip. My next point is prayer. And watch what, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's in the last point. Don't worry about that yet. Just put that on pause. Prayer. Then they return to Jerusalem. So they're being obedient from the mount called Olivet, where it's near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. That's about a half a mile. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas, the son of James, all of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brother. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company, and was about 120. Man, when you plugged in, and when you know you got a promise, you not only want to pray, you want to pray with the right folk. He said, where are my real prayer partners that get in unity with me right away? Where's James? Where's John? Where are those who suffered with me? Where are those who have the same cause? We're in the same church, but we devoted a week to fasting and prayer that the power, the promise might show up on us. Will we show up in our group, of 120 that's the big group, but then he still had the 11 that was a small group. You need to be in your big group, which is Sunday morning. You need to be in your small group. I'm Pastor James. I'm just sick of you bringing up the small group. I know I'm a part of Bethel World Outreach Church, but you know, I just opted out of the small group part. You can't keep wearing me to death about that little small group thing. I'm coming to your church. Just be happy. We're going to help you build the building and all that stuff, but don't be asking us about no small group. Stop it. You, this year, are going to go insane if you don't get in this one. Because I'm going to keep telling you, you need to be in one. But I don't really get nothing out of that. Then deliver something to somebody else. You're plugged in when you're fruitful. And if you're not fruitful, just be faithful until you can be fruitful. Peter is starting to talk different, if y'all didn't notice. Peter, this is the same guy who denied Jesus. The same guy who had a revelation one minute and then fell off the map the next and had to get rebuked. Say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This is the same guy who likes to deal in his flesh whenever the moment arises. Oh, y'all want to fight? He pulls out a knife and cuts off the high priest here. You want to take Jesus? Huh? You want to take Jesus? Jesus? You want to take Jesus? Isn't it funny that the world would bait you in your flesh to fight a spiritual fight with earthly weapons, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You're not ordinary, and you're not like Peter in the flesh trying to fight these fights of racism and all this other stuff going on with physicality. It's on your knees and showing up with the right revelation and the right spirit that God changes the world. Peter, my way is not like your ways. And if you stay in a place of prayer long enough, I will change your mind. How come we're not marching more? Because we didn't get marching orders. What, do you care? Of course. He cares. He died. But you still can't win in your flesh. Peter's starting to get that picture. He devoted himself with a like-minded people to think like God. Are you willing to be that group of people? Because those people, the Bible says, turn this world upside down and change it forever. And because of these 12 people who had that attitude, you are standing here today in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation standing up for the truth of God. That's what 12 people, 120 people gathered together in God's name for God's purpose can do to a world that seems like they got all the power. They have no power. For behold, I give you all the power of the enemy. You don't have anything that you cannot do or achieve through God if you're connected to his power. Nothing. Finally, what else did they do? You can read the rest of this. Let me paraphrase it. They prepared. They were in the upper room. They were praying. And while they were praying, I got to read this part because that's what I told you to pause and then I was going to show you something. I just remember where it was. Verse 16. Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now this man acquired a field, you know, he hung himself. For it is written in the book of Psalms, this verse 20, May his camp become desolate, and his dwelling that no one dwell there. Let another take his office. Now watch this. First of all, Peter said, the Holy Spirit said, based on the scripture, this man is being transformed, y'all. He went from speaking by the spirit and then by the flesh to saying, let me upgrade. I believe this is the first time I ever hear Peter referred to the, he said, look, the Holy Spirit spoke. He's talking a new talk. He's preparing himself based on scripture. He said the scripture said this was going to happen. And the scripture said what we're supposed to do is replace Judas with another person. If you never show up in prayer, you're not going to get enough of a hunger for the word to hear the Holy Spirit illuminate that word that's giving you clarity on what's going on in the world. And then what your response is supposed to be. God is trying to teach you. You and I are finite. Our sight only goes so far. But if we allow God in prayer to speak to us, he'll bring clarity. Then he gets two men, Matthias and Justus. These are two that have been with us and walked with Jesus from the beginning. One of them is going to take Judas's place, but we don't know which one. So we're going to pray and ask God, and the lot fell on Matthias. What is your preparation? It's to get the right people in your camp being led of the Holy Spirit. It's to characterize life correctly by the scripture. What is your preparation? To submit to the word of God. It's the entrance of the word that brings light and light. Whereunto shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed to the word of God. How much of the word do you know? How much have you taken heed to? How hungry are you for the word? Because if you're not hungry for the word, something is wrong. You're not abiding in him. You're not hungry for more of the nourishment that comes from God that will cause you to be fruitful in what you do. If you find that no one ever wants to come to the Lord when they look at your life or when they hear your words, something is wrong. And I'm not saying that you should be doing exactly what a pastor does or an apostle does, or you need something monumental, but you've got to have some fruit somewhere. And if you don't have any fruit anywhere, you got to stay in prayer until God recalibrates your life and gives you a new focus and a new preparation. And you overlay the scriptures by the Holy Spirit in your life and start thinking right and saying, God, I want you to confirm that instead of just doing that. They confirmed the decision that they made. Here's the best part in the end. After being plugged in and willing to wait, because they saw that the promises of God come true from Genesis all the way to now. And they found themselves going to the place of prayer in Jerusalem they were commanded to go. And then they found themselves making preparation in between the prayers to do the work that the 12 were assigned to do, to go out into the world. And when God saw in the fullness of time, Pentecost, that they were thinking right, acting right, and being right. God then said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, this is Acts 2:1. This is what concludes chapter 1. I heard a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place where they were sitting, and cloven tongues of fire showed up, sat upon it, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That empowerment came. And I know we get stuck right there. Ooh, the tongues of fire. Ooh, the tongues of mouth. Ooh, the shaking in the room. The blowing in the room. And we get stuck in an experience. But I'm not talking about an experience. I'm talking about the result of the empowerment was 3,000 people got saved that day. I don't care if you can speak in tongues and nobody ever gets saved. There's a lot of people that don't speak in tongues and people always get saved. So which one you want? Which one you want? Go for it. Speak in tongues, people got to get saved. Don't speak in tongues, people got to get saved. The empowerment has to be proven by fruit. If the Holy Spirit is speaking boldly through you, then we ought to see fruit. So don't get caught off in doctrine. And, well, they think like this, and well, I think like that. So get stuck there. Get stuck with Jesus and what he originally did and what does he originally want. He wants this world saved. What purpose did the scripture say he came? To seek and save that which was lost. So what are you going to do? You're going to be a witness. What does a witness do? They're like a martyr who surrenders all your life. I'm sorry, but I'm asking you to ball up your New Year's list. I want my money. I want to get it there. I want to lose weight. Ball it up. Throw it away. Take a chance. Take the same amount of time they did. And make your primary request be the empowerment of the Spirit. that shows up until I have a fruitful life. Make that your request. Make that your request. But you get you a sheet of paper. So every night you're praying, pray for your lost friends. And at the end of that week, you go to every single one of them you can in the empowerment of the Spirit and watch God in February give us a mighty revival of those who don't know Him coming to know Him. I'm not just fasting so I can go without food and lose a few pounds and just be cranky for a little while and just say, ooh, look at my sacrifice for Jesus. No, I'm looking for a holy empowerment that makes me more bold with my faith, more clear with my faith, more effective with my faith. And so when I speak, something happens, mountains move, because I'm assigned to see this world saved, sanctified, filled, set ablaze, and don't be afraid anywhere. Walk in boldness. This is your assignment. This is your call. And as you, I'm sorry being so loud, but you know, it's like that sometimes. Surrender. You win. Today, stand to your feet. I want to throw the Upper Venue service to the ministers up there to close. Live stream, Pastor, I'll throw it to you. This is your moment. Isn't it funny? At the beginning of the year, we know we need to get it right with God, and it's something that causes us to still say we're waiting and we're delaying, but no, this is the time to get it right with God. How many times will you know that you are like the disciples, plugged in for a moment and unplugged in a backslidden condition, but you won't come get it right with God? How many times will you know that you don't know God at all? You seem so far from the things we're saying, and you're not fruitful, and you won't look at your unfruitful life and just say, I need this. I'm so tired. I don't want another year where we're begging somebody. We're just wanting everybody to get a revelation of Jesus that causes you to say, I got to respond. He's done so much for me. How can I not surrender at all? Sometimes when you're walking out to an altar, all you're really saying is, I'm giving up. You're not telling everybody everything you ever did or every thought, because nobody wants to know that, and nobody wants to tell their stuff. But the same God that promised to save you, He blotted out all of your sins and all of your trash. What blot out means, they don't exist. He removes them, and then He removes the penalty, and then He imparts a blessing. Why would you delay the goodness? One of our good friends just passed away on Christmas Eve, a good man. And when we look at the record of his life and the fruit of his life and the 1,000 people at his funeral who have been blessed by his young life and death, I'm asking myself, when you don't know how long God will give you to live and you, then you live in this good way, oh my God, will you make today the day? I got to be right with Jesus. Can't play no games. So bow your head, close your eye, don't look around. Nobody looking but me. If you know on this New Year's Day, me and Jesus not in the right place. We're not even close. I'm so wishy-washy. I'm so sometimey. And I'm coming out of the dark today, and I'm coming into His marvelous light. Or I'm going to get to know Him for real. And today is my first step of faith. He said, if I'll acknowledge Him before men, He'll acknowledge me for His Father. Today, if you believe that Jesus lived and died and was raised for you, and you want to make Him not just Savior, but Lord of your life, when I count to three, with nobody looking but me, I want you to thrust your hand in the air like you're breaking free and then put it down. One, two, three. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All those hands all over. I see them. Now look up at me. This is the conclusion of the service. And I'm going to give you, and us, when I tell you 30 seconds of uninterrupted appreciation of Jesus for this revelation. And if you raise your hand during that time, I'm going to walk right here. And I'm going to stand here for you to be bold enough to come meet me to start your journey with somebody helping you. But I'm not willing to let you wait. Nobody saw but me. And we're going to just praise God for 30 seconds. And those that need to come who raise their hand or one or two is going to come. Go ahead and praise God right now. Don't look around. Praise Him. Come. Come. If that was you, come. Come, that's right. Love you. Love you. Beginning of a new day. Come on, come. It's the beginning of a new day. Come. It's the beginning of a new day. Come. Come on and praise him. 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 Hey. It's the beginning of a new day. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. 15 more seconds. 15 more seconds. Praise him. That's right. Come on into your destiny. Come on. 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 10 more seconds. Close your eyes and think about Jesus. He's been too good. He's been that good. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, come on, come on. Come on, it's still coming. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Woo! Hallelujah. I want my ministry team, Tanya, especially, I want you to come down, and I want you guys to, you know what? I want you to walk right out there with Pastor Ernie, and I want you guys, I want some other ministers to come. Go ahead and take them out. My final prayer. Come on, give them encouragement. I love y'all. I love you. I love you. Oh, Lord, bless you. Breathe on me. Yeah, breathe on me. Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. Stay right here. Stay right here. Oh, this is soul business. Real business. Real business. It's the real business. It's the real business. Get ready for the best year of your life. Get ready for the best year of your life, because you're going to lose it for Christ. Hallelujah. And then you're going to start living for real. Lord, bless your people as they leave this place without your presence. Keep us all in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. God bless you. You are dismissed. Give God praise. We love you so very much.